Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yes, this is going to be an interesting evening because we're going to Alton, Illinois, as opposed to Alton, Illinois, how I keep trying to pronounce it, but it's Alton. And we're going to have, we've got Suzanne Halbrook of the CVB, who's going to talk to us about my tour of Alton, the scenic byways, and just to name a few of the things. And then we're going to have a couple of executive chefs from two of the local restaurants. One would be Ryan Gentellin of Gentellin's on Broadway and Jim Newton of Mississippi Half Step. And so we will go into that. I'm doing this on purpose, Suzanne, with our sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Now that I've made your mouth water even more, Susanna.
That's right.
How do you like the commercial I came up with for them?
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. My chickens, they want to say hello. Wait a minute. Where are you? That was Esther. Wait, where's the... And that was Eunice. They both sound alike, but they're, you know, sisters related.
Right.
That's why. So, so how are you doing? What time's the weather there?
Today it's kind of gloomy. Today is kind of gloomy.
It is.
We got rain in the forecast today, but before that, I mean, it was lovely. I think since you left, we've stayed in the upper 70s, 80s, and sunshine the whole time.
It sounds like what we had here, too, kind of. Really, yeah. It's been like that kind of here. So, and I want to tell you that if it wasn't for the heat in the summer, definitely St. Louis would be the place for me to move to.
So you liked your entire visit?
Yes, the entire visit, because it also would give me access to, like, okay, I need to chill out. Let's go. Let me go to Alton to chill out.
Right.
And let me do all the things I need to do with the arts and everything in St. Louis.
Right.
And then in between, because it's in between, okay, I'll chill out even more and go to the Migratory Bird Center, Bird Sanctuary.
Yeah, really relax.
Which
yeah.
is kind of, that. Would you say that's like in between the two, right? Is that where it's kind of located?
Yeah, it's a little bit in between, since it's right across the river from Alton, but you can hit it on your way from St. Louis to Alton, definitely.
Yeah, so is it considered, I'm just curious, is that considered being in Illinois or being in Missouri?
There are actually parts of that land over there that are Illinois and parts of that land that are Missouri. So
Is there a place you can stand where if you spread your legs, you got one leg in
Probably. So I'd probably have to figure out where that point is. But it definitely, the way the land wraps around and where the river is, you are in Illinois, and then you step to the side and you're in Missouri. So we claim it as an Illinois attraction, and I'm sure Missouri claims it as a Missouri attraction. But either way, the visitor wins.
Okay. Well, I'll be talking about that tomorrow. We'll be talking about everything else I won't be talking about today and tomorrow.
Right.
That's what you get to do. So I want to start with, because, you know, I want to start to chat a little bit about the hotel, because it was, the interesting thing was that although it's, what was it, Holiday Inn? I forgot.
Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm.
Holiday Inn. It's because of the... I was about to say the aviary. I must be tired.
Atrium.
Atrium. That's the word. I knew it was an A word.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it different.
Yeah. It feels a little bit bigger on the inside when you get in. There's a lot of open space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you can kind of like dine in the living room, so to speak, kind of thing. So you can really, like, just not really dine, but you can, like, you know, to eat kind
right.
of stuff as opposed to going into, and they have, you know, I never went into the restaurant, but that's okay, into
right.
the real, the restaurant part itself. But I, well, it's, as you could say, it's like, oh, I think I'll take my breakfast and go over to the couch.
Right, right.
You know?
It is a very relaxed kind of atmosphere in there.
Yeah, and it was also cool that I was able to do my laundry and see first place I saw that you didn't have to put coins in the machines.
Yeah, that's very convenient.
Yeah, so actually, I mean, if you're really in a hurry, you can rinse your clothes. You can like do a quick washing in the sink in your room and just throw it into the dryer. You know. anyway, so where was that exactly? I know we kept driving to it. Where was it exactly?
Holiday Inn is in an area that's called Upper Alton. So it's not quite the downtown area, but it's pretty easily accessible from the main roads, and then it's right across the street from our Amtrak station.
Oh, okay. Well, after I checked in, we went to My Just Desserts. And one of the things you said it's historic as opposed to hysteric,
right?
right. Well, before we get into that, I think that was the main like the main street of downtown Alton.
Yeah, My Just Desserts is located on Broadway, and that's the main road that runs through downtown Alton.
Oh, okay. And so what is it? What was it about the building itself?
The building itself is the Ryder Building, and it was owned by a gentleman by the name of Simeon Ryder, and he was a landowner in Alton, and Abraham Lincoln had helped him both with the deed to his property and also to collect an old debt. So there's a little bit of a Lincoln connection, and there's an actual letter that Lincoln had written to Simeon Ryder that they have in the vaults of our Hayner Public Library. Then in addition to that, you have the whole story of Elijah Lovejoy, which I'm sure Don will tell you more about that tomorrow, an abolitionist and a publisher that was murdered here in Alton. But as the story goes, many of the pretrials for the Lovejoy murders took place in the Ryder Building, which is My Just Desserts.
Oh, okay. So now, I forgot what was the name of the owner? What was her name?
Ann Baddish is the owner of My Just Desserts, and I think
okay.
she's been there well over 20 years.
Wow. So we had this. It was this the famous chicken salad, huh?
The famous chicken salad, half pound chicken salad. The girls looked the other way, but you know, it's a little bit unique. Lots of green olives and big chunks of chicken, and of course she's known for her homemade pies.
Oh yeah, they had a long list there.
They did.
Oh yeah, I had the cherry with the
cherry
almond.
The cherry almond crunch.
Almond crunch. Yeah, that was really good.
Mhm.
Yeah, and what did you have? What did you eat? I forgot.
Gosh, what did I? I think I may have had the bread pudding.
Oh, okay.
A weakness for the bread pudding, but I think she has over 160 pies on her list, and she just rotates them in and out depending upon the season and what the baker feels like baking that morning.
Oh. Hey, you know what I forgot to ask you about? Apparently there must be something about the brownies.
The Toll House brownies are very good, and you can always pick up the brownies, and she even has brownies that you can buy the kit and make them at home on your own.
Yeah, that's what I forgot to get, because I was going to, you know what I was going to do? I was going to do that, make the brownies and talk to you on the phone while eating the brownies.
Oh, that would have been good. Now, she does have a cookbook.
Yeah.
And the cookbook has the recipe for the Toll House brownies in there.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up.
Very good, yeah.
Oh, all right. I got that. I got the cookbook. So.
Yeah.
I'll be able to look that up. So let's continue on. We stopped at Smallpox Island. What was...
That's right. That was just on the other side of the river. It's a great little place to go where you get a good view of the Alton area. And it was also the site... Sunflower Island is what it would have been called years ago in the early 1860s. But when there was a smallpox outbreak at the Alton prison, that's where they took a lot of the citizens to be quarantined, was over on Sunflower Island, which later it became named Smallpox Island. And then the citizens that were buried over there and a few of the wardens and different guards from the Alton prison, there's a monument in their honor over there on that side of the river.
Okay. So I guess now is that something that Don is going to look into too? Or?
Yeah, I think Don will tell you a little bit more about that, because there's even a Lincoln story associated with Smallpox Island.
I'll let them do the Lincoln story.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to download the CD that I got, the walking tour.
Right.
And I'll be able to play it during tomorrow's show, little parts of that as I get into it. So so I'm not going to go into the haunting stuff, because he's going to be on tomorrow. You know what I want to talk with you about, because we didn't do it this time, and since I didn't anyway, I want you to talk about the whole Lewis and Clark connection, and then the Confluence Tower.
Okay. We, the Alton area, Hartford, Illinois, is home to National Trail Site #1 on the Lewis and Clark Trail. And our Lewis and Clark State Historic Site, I think the day you were there, they hit their 1 millionth visitor since opening back in 2003. And the Lewis and Clark site, as I mentioned, was #1 on the National Trail for the National Park Service of Lewis and Clark, and it really focuses just on the 5 months that Lewis and Clark spent here in Illinois. So on December 12th of 1803, they would have arrived and set up Camp River Du Bois, and they set up camp and waited for the Louisiana Purchase to finally be completed, and then Lewis and Clark were training the men for the journey and getting all of their supplies ready, and then there was a point as they got into the spring that they were really just waiting for the nod from Lewis to say, okay, the purchase is through, and we can now head on our journey westward. So the museum there in Hartford, the Lewis and Clark State Historic Site, really just focuses, like I said, on that 5 months. They have exhibits that just talk about where the men came from, how they prepared for the journey. And then the signature exhibit is this 55-foot full-scale keel boat, in which half the boat is cut away so that you can see how Lewis and Clark packed the boat. And, you know, the mast and everything for the keel boat is up, and the entire building was just built kind of around this keel boat. So behind the museum, they have a fortified encampment, and they'll have period reenactors out there daily so that you can see what life was like for the men at the camp. The village of Hartford, really, you were there. It's not a very big village, is it? It's a pretty small town, very industrial, but the people really wanted to feel this connection to Lewis and Clark. So they built the Lewis and Clark Confluence Tower, and it took several years to finally come to completion. And last May, they opened so that people can go up 50, 100, and 150 feet to look down on the confluence of the Missouri and the Mississippi River where the Lewis and Clark journey began.
So what do you see it like different from the 50, 100, or 150 feet that, you know, why would you go to each one of them?
I think when you go to each level, it's a guided tour. So you have a tour guide that's kind of telling you the stories. And as you get to the first level, you're really just talking about the village of Hartford and its early beginnings and the pecan groves and the leather tannery and the people coming out to listen to the steamboat. So you get a sense of the village of Hartford. At that 50-foot level, you still don't have like that great view of the confluence, but you get a sense that it's right out there over that tree line. When you go up to 100 feet, then you're learning a little bit more about the Industrial Revolution. You know, there's a very large oil refinery right there in Hartford. From where we're at, there's the North American pipeline that runs down through Canada has just gone through the Hartford area. So it's very much an industrial center when you look out the one side of the tower. And then when you get to the other side, it highlights a few more of our natural aspects. You know, the tower is right up against the levee area. There's a lot of wildlife in the area. You're getting closer. You're looking at the Mississippi, the banks of the Mississippi River and the shoreline. And at that 100-foot level, you get a sense that the confluence is there. On a clear day, you can see all the way to Alton. You can see the Clark Bridge. You can see parts of the Mississippi River bluffs, and if you look out the other side, you can start to see the skyline of St. Louis as well as some of the other suburbs in the St. Louis area. And then when you get up to that 100-foot platform, you really get a true view of the confluence of the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers, and you can kind of see the Mississippi flows a little bit slower than the Missouri, so you can see the two of them as they come together. So that top level really talks about the Lewis and Clark journey and what they were expecting, the scenic byway, and then really hones in on the confluence and the rivers. So you get a little bit of a different story on each level that you go to.
Now, do you have to take a guided tour? I forgot.
And right now, it's all a guided tour, and you can go up by elevator, and I think sometimes there's the option to go back down by the stairs, but it's optional.
Sure, okay. If you're in the mood, you know.
If you're in
like
the mood.
For those people who like to climb, who they say, oh, I went up all the way on the stairs of a 150-foot
right.
place, you know, that kind of thing. Me, no. Give me the elevator. I'm fine with you. With the elevator, but that was really cool. As I said, as I had told you, like when I was in Alton, well, when I took the Mississippi River cruise,
mm-hmm.
you know, I did everything but the Confluence Tower.
Right.
Don't remember it all, but I know
right.
I did it.
Right.
I really need to find the photos to help me. You know, because you know what happens is because when you're talking about the thing with the ship, and what happens is I go back and I what I'm remembering, I think, is I'm going back to when I did North Dakota and did that Lewis and Clark thing, and we went into a place and there was a ship. So
right.
my brain is, you know, going back to that photo instead, you know, that's, so I'm trying to, you know, I will do that. I will try to relive that particular time so I can experience again. Okay, anyway, our next stop was the State Street Market.
That's right.
Yeah,
which is also downtown too.
Yeah, it's another little gourmet kind of food store with little gifts, and then they do great little lunches, soups, sandwiches, salads, and again more homemade pies.
Get those pies.
That's right. Now, Alton is Pie Town. They have to make sure they have lots of pie. Yeah.
But the market, I guess, like we're coming in, and like the first part of the first thing you come into is the market itself.
Correct.
Where, you know, all kinds of like little knick-snacks and snack-snacks.
Right, and wines and
yeah.
Imported beers. Yeah, she's got a little bit of everything in there.
Now, was there a wine bar there, wasn't there?
There's a wine bar, and then there's an outdoor garden area, seating area as well.
Oh, okay. And then there were like two rooms to eat in. Is that correct?
Right. So
okay.
The building that State Street Market is in is actually the Lincoln Lofts. Now it's a loft, but it was formerly the Franklin House in the early 1850s. And in 1858, when there was the Lincoln-Douglas debates, that's the Franklin House was a hotel, the Franklin Hotel, that Lincoln used as his headquarters, and his supporters met him there prior to and after the debate. So it's a little bit of a maze when you get in there, because it's almost two buildings on the bottom connected. And so you kind of walk into the shop, and then you go down a little hallway, and then you walk into the dining room and dining area.
Yeah, and the food, I like the food there too.
It's very good.
Great places.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, well, I love, especially when it's things like farm to table kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, which, well, you know, it's starting to be an in thing now.
It is.
You know, of people doing that, you know. Of course, they're not telling you what farm it came from. It could have gone, you know, you could be in New York and it came from a farm in California, and they say, oh, yeah, farm to table, you know. You know.
Right.
Oh, well, what could you do? But
right.
I'm guessing it's local. Where are the farms? We didn't, like, get to go to one. Like, how far away would be the areas from downtown Alton, if you wanted to go to visit some farms?
If you were in downtown Alton, we would probably head up the scenic byway towards Grafton. And when you get up we go past Mississippi Half Step, there's a road that would take you up more into the countryside, because Jersey County, where Elsa is located and Grafton is located, is very much farm country. So you'd hit quite a few farms in that area. Jim Newton, who you'll talk to later, he and his wife live on a farm. And then when you, if we went further up and crossed the Brussels Ferry into Calhoun County before we hit Pier Marquette State Park, Calhoun County is almost all farmland, and a lot of the farmers markets that we have in the area, a lot of the produce is coming from the farms in Calhoun County and the farms in Jersey County. This time of year, when people are taking their fall color drives, they're driving through Calhoun County and they're doing the apple picking, or picking up the produce at many of the roadside stands that you'll find in Calhoun County in that countryside.
Is this like apple season now?
It is apple season. So there's still apples that you can pick, and then there's quite a few pumpkin patches as well. So there's a few places where you can go out and you can pick your own pumpkin, and other places.
And you can pick your own nose, too.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. By the way, I tried the apple wine.
That's right. We did try the apple wine.
And it's funny because I'm going, I'll try the thing. We'll see how this thing
tastes. Pretty good, isn't it?
I'm going, yeah, That's really, it's not strong apple.
Right.
But it has this, it's like, you know, you're not having grapes.
Right.
Kind of thing. And it's not disgustingly sweet, but sweet enough. I mean,
right.
It was like really nice.
It's kind of light and a little bit crisp. We just My husband and I actually just had a bottle of wine that somebody sent us from California that was a Granny Smith apple wine.
Mm-hmm.
And you could very much taste the apples. So it was not quite the same as the apple crisp.
Oh, okay.
It was more like spiked apple juice.
Was that from Grafton Winery or a place in Grafton?
That was from Grafton Winery. The apple crisp wine was from Grafton Winery.
Okay, which we went to the winery, right?
Right, we visited.
Where they had the winery and the brew house.
Right, Grafton Winery and brew house, and we sampled some of the beers. They make their 5 different varieties of beer on site, and then they also make all of their own wine. But many of their apples, if they can get some of that locally, they'll use local. When they do their peach wines, they'll use local. But many of their grapes are shipped in from California.
Mm.
But then they make all their wines right there on site.
Well, you know, what I want to go into, since we started to talk about with the byways, is about this whole thing about the Great Rivers National Scenic Byway and the places like that we stopped at.
Right.
Relive it for me.
So we sit on what's called the Meeting of the Great Rivers National Scenic Byway, and it's a 33-mile stretch of the Great River Road, and it actually starts in Hartford, down at the Lewis and Clark State Historic Site. And when you reach the Confluence Tower, which we were at, that really serves as a kind of a gateway to the byway, where if you're in their visitor center, you get kind of an orientation of the 18 different stops along the byway that we're encouraging visitors to make. So you get on the road and you drive along the levee and past the National Great Rivers Museum, and you go past our Clark Bridge, and that'll take you down into downtown Alton. And as you get just beyond the main buildings of downtown Alton, you'll see the road kind of opens up, and you have the river on your left-hand side, and you have the Mississippi River bluffs on your right-hand side. And we made a stop off at the Piasaw Bird.
Tell us about this legendary Piasaw Bird.
The legendary Piasaw Bird.
Legendary.
It was a Native American Illini Indian legend, and explorers Marquette and Joliet in 1673, as they were coming down the Mississippi River in search of the Gulf of Mexico, they came across the painting of this bird high upon the bluffs, and the Illini Indians told them the story of how this was a man-eating bird who had swooped down and take their children. So Chief Watoga went to the Great Spirit and said, "How can I save my people?" And the next morning he did what the Great Spirit had told him in a dream, and the chief set himself out on the bluffs as a decoy, kind of as bait for the Piasaw Bird, and he had his braves hidden in the trees with their poisoned arrows, and as the Piasaw Bird came down, the braves shot the Piasaw Bird with their poisoned arrows, and he went down into the river, never to be seen again. So the Illini Indians painted this bird upon the bluffs. Where you see the bird now is not necessarily where it would have been when Marquette and Joliet came across it in 1673, but the locals have continued to keep the legend of the bird alive, and it's been painted numerous locations along the Mississippi River bluffs, but it's found a permanent home in Piasaw Park, and visitors can pull off and they can see this mural painted on the bluffs of the Piasaw Bird, and they can read about the legend. And it's also a great place to just hop on your bike, and you can ride along the rest of the scenic byway between Alton and Pier Marquette State Park for a 25-mile scenic ride.
Cool.
That's when we went to
the village of Elsa?
Elsa, yeah. Elsa was our next stop, and Elsa is also known as the village where time stood still. And
is that time, T-I-M-E, or the herb?
Nope, time, T-I-M-E.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
And it looks like a little, kind of like a little New England.
I'm keeping you perked up and awake when they throw little things in like this. I was going to throw in before, why couldn't that guy just say, let my people go? But that's another. Okay, go ahead.
So the village of Elsa looks like this little New England village that's just dropped down next to the Mississippi River. And it's just a few blocks in and a few blocks out. And when we were in Elsa, we traveled up to the top of the bluffs to take a quick driving tour of Principia College. And Principia College is the only Christian Scientist college in the world. And they have about 500 students, but it's just very unique architecture. It's not quite what you would expect. It was all designed by a San Francisco architect by the name of Bernard Maybeck. And as you drive through the campus, there's a little spot that you can stop at right near the chapel where you get a beautiful scenic view of the river from up on top of the bluffs. And then we came back down river from the bluffs from Principia and headed back onto the river road, and our next stop was Grafton.
We went to Pier Marquette State Park.
We went to Pier Marquette State Park. Pier Marquette is the largest state park in Illinois with over 8,000 acres. And they have a beautiful scenic overlook, so we took a quick drive through the park, noting some of the scenic overlooks. They have miles, 8 different hiking trails with different difficulty levels going through the park. And then the lodge, we stepped into the lodge for a little while. And Pier Marquette Lodge, it's a great place where you can stay. You can get a room or a cabin, but they also have a wonderful dining room. They do brunches in the fall on Sundays. Or, they have a life-size chess set there in the great room and just lots of chairs where you can lounge around. So it's a great place just to stop and kind of relax. And at that point, you're looking out on the Illinois River versus the Mississippi, because in Grafton, the Illinois and the Mississippi River come together, hence the meeting of the Great Rivers Scenic Byway, but great place to enjoy the Illinois River.
Do all three ever come together at any point?
They don't, all three. Mm-mm. No, just the Missouri and the Mississippi come together in Hartford, and then the Illinois and the Mississippi come together in Grafton.
Is there some point where you can be to see all three? Was that when we went to Tara Point Inn that we were able to see, like, if you could see a view and be able to see the three different rivers?
When
no?
we were up at Tara Point, you could definitely see the Mississippi and the Illinois coming together, but the Missouri would have been too far south at that point to be able to see it from Tara Point. But the Tara Point Inn, I mean, of all of the places along the river, that's probably the best view that you'll get of the Mississippi River and the bluffs and of the confluence of those two rivers coming together.
And that's like, you would tell me it's like the only, I guess it's a B&B kind of thing.
It's a bed and breakfast. You can stay in the main house and have breakfast in the dining room in the morning, or they have cabins out behind the main house, but there isn't a bad view in the place, and it's family owned. I want to say they've been open since at least probably 1995, so they've been serving guests for more than 15 years, and they have several guests that come back year after year, just different seasons. In the fall, the colors are beautiful, and in the wintertime, it's not unusual to be sitting there having breakfast and seeing bald eagles flying in front of the dining room windows, because you're right up there on the bluffs where the eagles like to roost.
You know they have a new hair club for eagles, don't you?
I didn't. What is it?
It's for the bald eagles. They have a hair
bald
club
eagles.
Now.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. They're also maybe trying those, that thing with the cold laser to see if they'll grow the hair back. I'm not sure. But I saw one wearing a toupee. I wasn't, but the other thing I kind of want to get into, is, you know, where we didn't go, meaning I didn't get to see anything regarding the arts, because it sounds, you know, I don't want people to think it's a, you know, the boring town, all there is history and, you know, history and driving around kind of thing, and, you know.
Right.
But there are arts, the arts. So,
the arts, yes.
What do we got there for, in terms of the arts?
In Alton, you have the Jacoby Art Center, which is a beautiful art gallery that services Madison County, which several communities in Illinois. They have rotating exhibits, different artists featured each month. And then they do a lot of opportunities for performing artists as well. So in addition to the art that's on display in the gallery, the last Saturday of the month, they'll have different artists play acoustically in their East Gallery. They kind of set it up cabaret style, and you can come in and listen to music and enjoy a glass of wine. They also do concerts on the second Friday of the month. The Alton Little Theater is the oldest community theater in the state of Illinois. They have a full season that they offer every year. It's an intimate kind of theater. We're not Broadway. We've got about 200 seats in the Alton Little Theater, not a bad seat in the house, and they do at least 7 plays per season, a variety of musicals and dramas and comedies. We have a wonderful Alton Symphony Orchestra, and their season usually starts up right about September, and they'll have concerts through April, probably about 5 or 6 concerts a year, and they have over 50 members, so they have a pretty good sound when they're all together. We have a choral society that does about 4 concerts a year. And then when you're in the downtown area, there's a couple of districts that we consider kind of our nightlife districts. Thursday and Friday nights, Saturday nights, I mean, there's not a, several of the bars downtown will have live entertainment. In Grafton, the Grafton Winery that we were at, they do a blues festival every May, but they also do a lot of blues music just on the weekends, and you'll have a variety of different musicians from all over the St. Louis area playing there on the weekends. In Alton, during the summertime, we have an amphitheater, and there's free concerts the third Thursday of the month at the amphitheater. And then we also have these great block parties in the summertime on the last Saturday of the month, so that you can hang out on the main streets of downtown and kind of sample the local flavors that the restaurants are serving up, and then listen to live music and do a little dancing in the street.
And the amphitheater, that's the one that's like on the, right on the water, right?
That's the one that's right
well,
on the water.
Well, not on the water.
It's a, on the with, riverfront. That was the one
yeah,
that
on the
we,
riverfront, right?
We took a quick Segway tour and
yes,
made
Segway
a stop
tour
at the amphitheater. That's right.
My wonderful segues. Oh, and by the way, oh, yes, that worked, the thing, the, as I'm going, my brain is going, Arnica, it's some state, is it Dakota, Arnica, I couldn't think of the
right
name of the thing, Arnica, Montana. For those people, just for people to know what this thing is, and you can't get this, like, if you go to a regular, you know, drugstore, they're not going to have it. This is something you would have to pick up in a, like, a holistic place, some,
right,
you know, or
that
kind of thing.
Store, yeah.
Yeah. And what it is it's for bruises in particular. So, in other words, if you bruise yourself, it's like the first thing you should take. And I talked to my chiropractor because I was telling her about that. It was the first time I had seen it in a gel form as opposed to a what they call it like a pill form. They're little tiny white pills, and when you're taking this type of pill medicine, it's like something you put, it tells you how many pills to put under your tongue and you let it dissolve, or sometimes you would take, if it's droplets, it's like how many drops to put under your tongue. And I thought this would, you know, like, wouldn't it be better if you're rubbing it on the place that you have you know, the bruise. Mm-hmm. And my chiropractor said, well, you can do both. She said, you know, you can put it on the bruise and then still take the pills. And I didn't want a chance going, well, you know, like I'll go bruise myself and do not do it to see if it makes a difference.
Right.
But it went away. I mean, I didn't get a bruise. You couldn't see that I bruised my foot.
Mm-hmm.
After putting that on. But that was, listen, I didn't fall off the I did fall off the Segway, as in a certain person, not you.
Okay.
Of course, I didn't do a Segway. You know, I hope somebody got a hold of them the next day to tell them
I'm sure
I came home. I had like 3 phone calls asking me where I was.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going. Didn't somebody call and tell them? You know. Well, I'll find out. I do want to have them, you know, kind of talk about it. But in the meantime, would you could tell like where we went? Where did we? The first place we stopped at. What was that thing? Where we picked it up
when we did the Segways?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. We picked up the Segways at the National Great Rivers Research and Education Center, right on the Mississippi River, and they're doing a lot of studies there of the Mississippi River and the waters and, you know, cleanliness and river life in the waters and really pumping water in from the river and just studying it as a living organism. But the building itself is also going for LEED Platinum certification, so it's a green building. And we took our Segways right up on the roof and saw the vegetative roof, the grass that they have growing up there, and took a closer look. It had a great view from up on the roof and the solar tubing that they use to collect sunlight and capture light to be used inside the facility to save some energy. Then we took the Segways along the levee past the National Great Rivers Museum and the Melvin Price Locks and Dam. And the Locks and Dam is the second to last locks on the Mississippi River, and it is the largest lock and dam on the Mississippi River. And visitors can take tours of the Lock and Dam, go up 8 stories and look down on the barges pushing through the lock and dam system. And then the National Great Rivers Museum there really focuses on how the Mississippi River has affected our people, our culture, our history, the formation of the bluffs, and really how it's impacted our natural surroundings. And then as you head just a little bit further upriver from the National Great Rivers Museum, you start to come into Alton, and you'll go past the Clark Bridge. Actually, I think we went underneath the Clark Bridge, which is a cable stay bridge, and we went past the Alton Marina, which is a wonderful marina for boaters that are out on the Mississippi River. We actually have 2 great marinas, the Alton Marina and the Grafton Harbor there in Grafton. And then we pulled off for a little bit in the Riverfront Park where the amphitheater is, and we rested for a while. But the riverfront area, you have the park, you have the casino boat down there by the river and the marina, and then we hop back on to the levee. But you get a wonderful view of the river as you're going along on the
Segway. Clark Bridge. Now that is it painted gold, or it is, what's the thing with that? The recognizable thing about it.
Right, it's a cable stay bridge, so it kind of looks like it's suspended by cables. The cables do appear to be yellow, and at night when it's all lit up, it's just really, it's a beautiful bridge. Its sister bridge is somewhere over in Germany. The ribbon cutting for the bridge was back in 1994, and every once in a while on your PBS station, you might catch a NOVA special on the Clark Bridge. They call it the Super Bridge, And I think it's just relating to the miles of concrete and the cable used to suspend the bridge.
Oh, okay. But it's one of the things that that makes it recognizable.
Right.
That if you're at some point and you look around, oh, there's the Clark Bridge.
Yes.
Then you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's where it is. That goes from Illinois
to Missouri.
To Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, when we were at the Grafton Winery and Brew House,
mm-hmm.
didn't the guy say something about there was supposed to be an entertainer going on that Saturday and they had to change because she was going to be doing something?
She was going to be opening for Aretha Franklin at the Peabody.
Well, nobody opened up for her.
Nobody opened up for her? Nobody played before Aretha?
No, what do you call it? Jay Leno opened up, and then she came on.
Hmm.
And then I'm saying to myself, wasn't there supposed to be somebody? You know, I was trying to remember something about that happening.
Yeah, that's what he had heard, that she had canceled because she was going to be opening up at the Peabody or playing at the Peabody that night. I don't know. Maybe she was backup. Backup singer?
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't say who. Oh, you know, that could have been a possibility. I mean, they didn't, you know, announce the backup singers. Oh, okay, that could have been, as opposed to, you know, to open for her. Yeah, that was something else. Anyway, because I thought about that afterwards, and I thought, you know, I remembered, you know, that conversation, and I went, well, whoever it was. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and she had introduced. I didn't even know Chuck Berry was still alive.
He is. Yeah, he's a well-known St. Louisan.
Yeah, he came on like just, you know, kind of to say hello, and I think he probably said, "All right, good, get me off the stage." And thanks. I said hello, and I'm out of here.
Right.
I didn't get he really wanted to be, you know, be there. I went, oh, okay. Well, we know it's him. Okay. So when I come back, in other words, the thing I really do have to like hit is like the art. That's the whole segment of it that I didn't do anything. By the way, did you get a hold of Fairy Tale Brownies yet, or should
I? I did not. I mean, that's on my list of things to do.
Oh, okay.
Definitely on my list. And they're the best brownies.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, we can't tell what's your face. Who makes, you know, with a brownie mix.
Right. Mine just desserts. Well, it's a different brownie. I mean, it's a different kind of brownie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure. I mean, these brownies are, you know.
It's the chocolate.
Calico chocolate that makes it. Yeah. That's what, you know, kind of makes it. By the way, did you tell your husband about the zeros with sugar on top?
I did. He liked that.
Okay. So I'll tell my audience that you go over to close to somebody's ear and say softly, zeros with sugar on top. Zeros with sugar on top. And when they say, "What's that?" you say, "I'm whispering sweet nothings in your ear."
That's right.
Yeah. So, who told you that? That's so funny. That's so silly, too. So, was anything we missed about that I'm not going to be getting into? And by the way, do you think, I know we're going to talk about this tomorrow, but do you think there's a big difference between the tales of the haunting versus the history?
I think you get, when you do the haunted tours, you get history interwoven with the hauntings and the ghost stories, but sometimes you get a little bit of embellished history too. So I think on one hand, your haunted tour providers do a great job of building an awareness of the great history that Alton has, but sometimes they stretch it a little bit too far.
We're going to see that he says tomorrow.
Right.
I'll tell one place to not avoid, but unless you're really, really into it,
right.
The Historic Museum of Torture Devices.
That's right. It's a little bit different.
That's different. That's a good word.
It's a good word.
If you're really into it, then go. If you're really, really into
really.
It. If you're totally bored and still need something. You
right.
can see these things and go,
oh,
only some guy would make this shit up and try to torture people.
Pretty scary place.
Yeah. But we didn't get to go into, because of time-wise. There was that thing, the pottery place with the mud pottery.
Yeah,
thing.
The Mississippi Mud Pottery Place. We have a lot of great little shops in the Alton area. Mississippi Mud Pottery, they spin their own pottery right there in the shop. It's a couple that owns it, Chad and Felicia, and Felicia is the fisherman and the hunter, oddly enough, but she will go catch fish, and they actually even cast, do imprints of the fish, and they do clay
really?
River fish. It's very interesting. But so that's a neat place to kind of see artists in action. We have a really nice stained glass shop. Lynn Hewlett's been on the main street for over 20 years, and she makes custom stained glass. She's done it for churches across the St. Louis area, people's homes. She does lamps. She just does different artistic stained glass that you can hang up. She has a real eye for beautiful things and very creative.
I guess you can say she's one person who say, yes, I do windows.
That's right. Just windows. That's right.
What I wanted to ask you too is, in terms of the pottery place, do they ever do something like give lessons, or no, it's their own thing?
The pottery place is kind of their own thing. You can come in and do like you can do a customized plate, or for like kids, they'll do the handprints and the footprints type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They will do. There have been people that have done like a wedding registry there, and they'll design, do a custom design of pottery just for you.
Are there any places, like if you wanted to get any places do cooking lessons? Any place for that kind of thing?
There's our Holiday Inn, oddly enough, the chef out at the Holiday Inn does a cooking with Chef Kenny. And the public can sign up. He does probably 6 or 7 of those a year, where he'll teach you how to make a four-course meal. And I did the one where he showed you how to make fresh pastas, and did a couple of different fresh pasta dishes. And as he does each dish, you can ask questions, and then they'll bring out the dish for you to taste, and then he'll make another one and go through all the steps. So it's kind of interesting. It's not exactly hands-on, but if you already cook, if you have an ability, I mean, it's enough that you can figure out how to go home and make the recipe on your own.
So, like, when he was doing that, was he with the fresh pastas,
mm-hmm.
Which I assume, because no one ever does, like this, like spaghetti. It's usually like ravioli or things like that is that what he was doing? Like
we
that
did,
kind of thing?
He did an angel hair pasta.
Oh, okay.
He did a ravioli.
With a machine, I suppose, right? No?
He hand cranked it. So with a pasta maker, yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right. I got a pasta machine. I can guess
yeah.
right. I forgot about that.
And
it come out as the angel. Yeah.
I think if I remember right, he did a ravioli.
Uh-huh.
And he did another, like a chocolate pasta for dessert. Not as good as your fairy tale brownies.
No, I don't think
so. But it was different.
I tried that with a chocolate pasta, and it doesn't work for me, because it's not something that, unless you're putting something sweet on it.
Right.
Which is not usually the thing. You usually put some kind of creamy sauce.
Right.
Kind of thing. We're using, cream, but you're not getting because not having the sweetness, you really don't get that whole chocolate
pulled out of it, saying, oh, I'm eating chocolate pasta. It more looks like it than tastes like it, kind of thing, you know, kind of thing. But that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm going to let you take a break.
Okay.
From talking, and I'm going to go play a song before somebody calls in. And who's calling in? I think Ryan. Yes, Ryan will call in first. And we're going to talk about his restaurant.
Okay.
And in the meantime, all right, let me know if you're having trouble with the brownies.
Okay.
I could always make a special phone call, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
All right. So if you're totally bored tomorrow afternoon and you want to tune in and listen to the show, you can do that.
Okay. We'll
right.
Do that. Okay.
And you could even like go, oh my God, they said the wrong thing. I'm breaking in. I'll see your phone number calling in, and I'll go, oh yeah, what's the matter? Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon, and thanks for everything.
No problem.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Yes. Well, let's see. So I think I realize I know we have one of the chefs on the air, but I need to take a mouth break too. So I'm gonna just throw in one song and then we'll get right to our next guest.
Be the face I can't forget, the trace of pleasure or regret. Maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. Maybe the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, the smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside a shell.
is like one of those songs. I play this song. By the way, I play this song because it always reminds me. It's like when I'm watching TV, and if the movie is on Notting Hill, if it's on TV, I'll watch it so I don't have to think of some Law and Order or CSI or one of these things that, someone's not killing somebody. That's why I like this. So, have you ever seen Notting Hill? I know you're on, by the way. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Jim? for me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I didn't know I was on the air yet.
Yeah.
I have not ever seen Notting Hill.
You have to see it. You'll find that if you watch it, it's going to be one that you're going to go, I want to see it again. Or you're going to put it on, like rent it, get the tape, get it for yourself. You're going to want to put it on again because of when, like, I just want to watch something nice kind of thing. And the music, the score from there is great, the great music from there.
So
anyway,
it's definitely a mood booster.
Oh yeah, it's a mood booster, and plus the stars. Oh my goodness, the Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts.
Well, the cast is definitely indicative of a good movie.
That alone.
Sure.
It's funny. And it's funny, romantic, it's everything but somebody killing somebody, you know what I mean?
Well, in movies nowadays, that's actually probably a good thing.
Yes, I know. You know, it's so difficult to, when I'm watching TV and I'm looking to see what's on, isn't there anything on with someone not killing anybody or, whatever, Well, no one's killing anybody at your restaurant, so we're going to have you. Introduce yourself to my audience.
Well, my name is Jim Newton. I'm the head chef and the owner of the Mississippi Half Step in Grafton, Illinois. We've been around in Grafton since 2005, but the building alone has been there since 1885. So we've got a lot of history just in our restaurant, and we're trying to make history in and of ourselves just being a restaurant there. It was a building that was built with the same rocks that built the Eads Bridge over in St. Louis, and there's just a lot of history, and there's also a lot of history in the town of Grafton.
And how did you get into being there?
Well, in all actuality, I have to go back a little bit further. I was a psychology major with a minor in philosophy, so I'm not a schooled chef. But I decided on a trip back from Telluride, Colorado, with my wife to see a bluegrass festival that we were going to open up a restaurant. And so we started in Edwardsville, Illinois, with a small pasta shop. It was kind of a quick shop, a lot of small dishes, comparable to Noodles & Company. But before Noodles & Company actually made it national. And so we went from there, and then we decided we want to move to a farm. And we bought a farm outside of Grafton, 61 acres, and we found a wonderful historic building in downtown Grafton. And we were able to purchase that and started the restaurant in 2005. And that basically has started the history of the Mississippi Half Step.
Now, what would you say is like the cuisine?
Well, as far as cuisine goes, we would be kind of a classic Americana. We, like I told you when you ate at our restaurant, we try to provide dishes that are classic, meaning the base ingredient is a classic ingredient. But again, you just have to provide your own twist and your own, your own name on every dish. And so therefore, we have everything from seafood to steaks to pork chops to pasta, which was where I got my culinary start.
Ah, right. And let's get into, of course you remember everything I ate, don't you?
Oh, of course. You had a strip steak with asparagus.
It's funny because I would have to look at the photos I have
all
the photos of everything.
Well, actually, it wasn't a strip stick. It was actually the ribeye, because I turned you on to that one.
Yes, we were talking about the types of steaks. And I, oh, that's right, because I said just kind of, you know, with that, I know you have different sauces for that, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have three or four different sauces. And so, therefore, you're able to order a filet or a strip steak or a ribeye, and then you can get one of our four house sauces. We have a house béarnaise. We also have a boars and cheese compound butter. And then we have kind of a Madagascar, which is a peppercorn cream sauce. And then we have what I would call our signature sauce, which was the rosemary red wine reduction, which I actually suggested to you, but you told me that you were not as happy with the red wine.
Yes. but I like, well, me, I like to taste a steak and like in its, to get the steak itself. You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree.
Yeah, I just like, you know, I think I just, you know, a little salt and pepper. Just that's all I need. And, you know, if it's done right, you're going to get the tenderness, you're going to get the juiciness, you'll get the flavor, you know, that kind of a thing. And actually, the little bit of salt that you put on it will just bring it out, and you don't even need a lot, you know, kind of thing. So I had the ribeye. Is that what I had? Did I have anything like appetizers?
You had the appetizer, the stuffed mushroom.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it was stuffed with, go ahead, tell us.
It's stuffed with a crab, Asiago, and cream cheese mixture, which I actually developed when I owned the previous restaurant, the Global Noodle, for one of my grandmother's Christmas parties. We had to bring an appetizer, and we were at the restaurant, my wife and I, and it was one of those days where we didn't have a lot of customers, so I thought I would experiment a little bit. And what I found was not only, in my opinion, a pretty good stuffed mushroom recipe, but something that the family definitely, and we're talking about a big Catholic family, definitely all enjoyed. So therefore, when we opened up the Mississippi Half Step in 2005, I put it on the menu instantly. And we've also competed in a Grafton Mushroom Festival, and they've had it for years. They had it, I think, 4 or 5 years before we were ever a restaurant. And we were fortunate enough to have that stuffed mushroom recipe win every time we've entered it.
Oh, that's great. And what kind of mushroom did you use? I forgot.
It's basically a field mushroom. As far as chefs go, it would be a silver dollar. And what you do, and the secret to a good stuffed mushroom, in my opinion, is you really have to bake the mushroom off. Mushrooms are basically wicks or sponges, and they absorb a lot of water. So if you don't bake your mushroom off and get some of that water out of the mushroom, then what you have is you have a soggy stuffed mushroom.
I
think those are a lot of the reasons that people who have fried mushrooms, you know, you bite into it and all of a sudden you're burnt with the grease and there's so much juice. Well, if you're able to pull a little bit of that juice out, you dry out the mushroom ever so slightly, and then you get a better picture of what that mushroom really should be.
So what do you do to dry it out? This is just
you
for
just
me.
Absolutely just bake it. If you were doing it at home, you'd put your mushrooms in, stem side up. Of course, you'd de-stem them first. And then you'd bake it approximately 10, 15 minutes, and you'll actually see water build up on the inside cap of the mushroom. And then when you're cooling the mushroom, you flip it. You let the water drain out. And then you take those and you stuff them with absolutely whatever you would ever want to.
Ah, look at that. I will try that.
And you can actually, my recipe, I feel, is quite good, but you can stuff them with anything you would ever want, brie cheese and bacon, or, you know, a gorgonzola mixture, or, you know, just anything that suits your fancy.
That's a cool idea. And for me, I'm going to bake them in my my new wave oven, because that's all I ever use now. And since I didn't get the opportunity to have every single appetizer on the menu, tell us about some of the other appetizers that you have.
Well, we're one of the, I would say, traditional restaurants. I really don't like, as far as a chef or as far as an owner of a restaurant, to ever, you know, there are wonderful appetizers out there that restaurateurs can just pull out of a bag, pop in a fryer or pop in the oven and make customers happy. But at our restaurant, we try to make everything unique. So therefore, we do a crab rangoon, which basically is a slight deviation on the stuffed mushroom recipe, the crab mixture that goes in. And so therefore, you get a very piquant or very snappy crab rangoon. And I know you've probably had the crab rangoon at a lot of local establishments that basically seem to be cream cheese and crab, and that's about all you get. Whereas,
yeah, and fake crab, and in a Chinese restaurant.
Exactly. Now, some people, that's their version of crab rangoon. So we've actually had customers that have had our crab rangoon and say, that's not what I'm used to. And it's definitely not what people are used to. But then again, if you can turn people on to a little bit more, they might realize that what they've been getting was a little bit mediocre. We also
using real crab?
Yes, ma'am. We use lump crab meat,
right.
Lump claw crab
because
meat.
Because what happens is that what people are tasting when they're getting crab rangoon at the Chinese restaurants or whatever is they're getting that fake crab meat.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you get that, you may think that that's really crab. You don't know. You don't realize you're not eating crab.
A lot of people have had the towel pulled over their eyes for years. And, it's something that it's definitely a staple in a lot of people when they go to a Asian restaurant. They love the crab rangoon. But yet we've found that a lot of people, that's one of their favorite appetizers. We also do a spring roll, which is an Asian-influenced marinated vegetable. We julienne everything, and then we hand roll them in wontons. And we slightly fry them and finish them in the oven. And we picture those or pair those with a Szechuan sauce and also a spicy Thai peanut sauce. So you can kind of get the best of both worlds. Other appetizers that we include.
Hey, go ahead. My mouth is watering. Yeah.
Well, if you would have came back, we could have given you every appetizer on the menu.
I know, but I may come back, but that's beside the point. So now that's why you'll have to tell us now. What else?
We also offer peel and eat shrimp, and what we do is we try to get the best shrimp that we can, and we put them in a traditional Creole boil. We use the pickling spice, lemons, hot sauce, white wine, and we cook them just till they foam. And if any of your listeners are listening, when you are doing actual peel and eat shrimp, you can overboil them to where they become rubbery in texture. And all of a sudden, it's almost unappealing. The shell doesn't come off as cleanly, and you have problems. But what we do is once that boil actually foams, you pull them and you cool them as quickly as possible, and then you get a nice crisp shrimp. And, of course, we pair that with a traditional cocktail sauce and then also a honey mustard maple sauce, which some people find that that's their favorite, and other people, of course, go for the traditional cocktail sauce.
Which is?
Cocktail sauce is basically a horseradish ketchup.
Yeah, I have, and for me, it actually makes a little bit of a flavor. Is I use the horseradish with the beet one. It's the red horseradish.
Yeah.
So it's got beet juice kind of thing, and mixing that with the ketchup gives it a little added flavor too. Nice.
Oh, definitely. And you can also add a little bit of mayonnaise if that's something you want. A little bit of white wine. You can actually put capers in that just to get a piquantness that a slight saltiness that it provides. So basically what I was saying earlier when you asked what our cuisine was, it's everything is, in my opinion, traditional, but you just got to put your own twist.
Okay, good. So let's continue because I want to, this way I'll be hungry when I'm done.
Oh, no problem. Too bad you can't just fly back and have a meal.
Yeah, so what else, go ahead.
As far as appetizers, we, of course, traditional in our area is a hot wing. We definitely sell a lot of hot wings. We try to provide a semi-spicy sauce that's definitely not anything overpowering, but a depth in flavor. And what we do is we oven bake our wings with seasoning, and then we finish them in the fryer, sauce them, and then finish them in the oven. So there's kind of three ways. So therefore, they get a little bit of layeriness on each step that you take. Some people take them out, fry them, sauce them, and that's it. Well, what we try to do is create a little bit of depth and flavor. So you season them with things that you might not normally, a little bit of cumin, a little bit of curry, and then once you pop them in the fryer, some of that washes off, and then the sauce actually is able to penetrate the wing. And my opinion is you don't use huge chicken wings. There are the absolutely ginormous chicken wings that are out there now, but we use a medium-sized wing because I feel that when you bite into the wing, the flavor of the sauce, since you've actually baked it on, is penetrating all the way to the bone.
Right, right, yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. It would have been interesting to try out, but as I couldn't stuff myself with everything.
Oh, no one ever can. Some people try. and we always commend the people that actually try, and some people do, and those people you have to take your hats off to.
Oh, okay. So now let's get into you, because this is farm to table.
This is not completely farm to table. What we do is we own a farm. We are hobby farmers. I actually have a little interlude for you at the end.
You grow hobbies on your farm?
We're just a hobby farmer.
Okay.
We do grow an organic garden, but as far as supply and demand with what we can do, just as far as a couple that owns a restaurant, we cannot provide our restaurant with all the produce that they need. But one thing I talked about to you when you dined at my restaurant was the fact that all of our fresh herbs completely come from the garden all year round. Those are things that we grow, and we always grow organic. And those are things that just add a little bit of pizzazz. You know, if you can provide a fresh herb, it definitely it provides a depthness to your dish and something that maybe people never have had. And we grow typical herbs. We grow lavender and basil and tarragon and oregano and sage. And those are all things that we typically use on a day-to-day basis at the restaurant. Now, if we do have a bumper crop of anything on the farm, such as tomatoes or peppers, I always try to incorporate those into weekly specials or nightly specials on Friday and Saturday, just so people can get a little bit of an organic flavor and know that that dish was, you know, that dish was partly grown by us.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, do you grow arugula?
No, we do not. Sometimes we have.
Because it's a weed.
Well, it's one of those slightly bitter greens. And this year we tried to grow a lot of greens here, but I don't know if anyone knew the Midwest weather. But we got very, very hot very, very quickly, and then we stayed hot and we stayed dry. So a lot of our lettuce crop and a lot of our green crop didn't really work out as well as we wanted it to.
So let's now get into then the entrees that you have, other than the steaks.
Well, the steaks, it's kind of funny. I was a vegetarian for 8 years. I came out of college, and I just kind of did it on a dare from my mother and was successful at it for 8 years. And then when I started, you know, being a restaurateur, I realized that there was a lot of good meat out there. And as far as cooking it, I really needed to taste it. And once I tasted it, I realized what I had been missing. I definitely am not trying to turn any vegetarianism or vegetarian into a meat eater. But if you get good quality meat and if you, you know where it's coming from and everything else, you can definitely have a very, very good meal. We've always tried to include a lot of vegetarian items just because I was a vegetarian. So therefore, if somebody's, you know, not really conducive on the meat, they can always find an alternate dish.
What particular, if you want to call them signature vegetarian items, would somebody get? This is really good. You know, I could not have to have meat and eat this.
I would actually have to turn them to my heritage in the culinary world, and that would be the pastas. When I was in college and actually became a vegetarian, pastas were very cheap to do, and you could definitely impress a lady friend with a pasta that she might not have ever had, and it made you look really, really well in her eyes.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, the pastas that we do a Mediterranean bowtie pasta. It's basically a Greek-infused pasta, and it's very simple to do. It's olive oil, Greek seasoning, a little bit of crushed red pepper, of course, garlic, basil, and then we finish it with Asiago and feta cheese.
Wow, that is nice. That does sound nice.
It's yeah. one of the ones that people actually try to get off the menu and order something else, but if that is their diehard favorite, a lot of times they stick with it.
Hmm. What else? What else do you got there?
Well, as far as the pastas and the vegetarianism, we also offer a crimson bow tie, and what that is a mixture of vegetables, and it's in a pink sauce. We hand make our own marinara, which to me is one of just the staple sauces that restaurateurs should have or offer or at least know how to do. You cook it down slow. And, of course, I always use, as far as an Italian cook, about two parts basil to one part oregano. There's always red wine in it. Got to have a little sugar to decant the tartness of the tomato. And then once you get it cooked down, it just formulates this wonderful, wonderful red sauce. And then we pair that with a bechamel, which is one of our signatures because our fettuccine is very, very popular. And that's a mixture of basil, oregano, garlic, of course, cream, butter, and then a little bit of flour to thicken it. And so when you mix those two sauces together, you get this wonderful pink sauce that has the flavors and the density of both sauces combined. So you're actually getting the best of both worlds.
Mm, that does sound good. And I understand. Now, who does the desserts?
My mom and dad actually do the desserts, Charlie and Wayne Ann Newton. I've been keeping them employed now for about 6 years, and I think with the accreditation they've gotten, I'll keep them on the payroll for just a little bit longer.
What are they making?
We'll see what happens.
What are they making?
They basically, our house dessert is a Muddy River cheesecake, and it's a toffee, caramel, and chocolate cheesecake. And to tell you the truth, I'm not a chemist, and to me, baking is chemistry. So therefore, I couldn't really give you exactly how they make it. All that I know is that basically when people have it, the only thing you hear from the table is, mmm.
Well, that's good to hear.
Well, it's definitely, as far as someone owning a restaurant, it's definitely not a bad thing to hear. But then the parents will definitely take seasonal things such as blackberries or peaches, which is a huge thing in our area. Calhoun County, which is an adjacent county to Madison in Jersey, is very well known for their peaches. And so every year when my mom brings out the peach cobblers or the peach pies, people come running.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot all about that. I don't remember. I went to one of the restaurants. Oh, I forgot to talk about that. And they said, oh, wait, take this to go. It was a peach pie that I went. And I didn't have it. I had just finished eating, so I couldn't eat the peach pie. But I wound up taking it with me. I was going from Alton to going to St. Louis. So we wound up sharing the peach pie with the people in St. Louis. That was really good.
Well, the local peaches are always a good thing to use, and when people find out, people always come to the restaurant and say, "What do you have that's local now?" Because we are a farm community, so therefore there are times that we have a superfluous amount of sweet corn, and we try to implement that into our dishes, or local grown green beans, or anything of that nature always helps out. Because people know that what they're eating is actually coming from the area that they live or that they're traveling to. So a lot of times that's just an impressive factor.
Yeah. You got a website, right?
Yes, ma'am, we do. That's the Mississippi Half Step. It's the Mississippi Half Step at... I think it's gtec.com.
Oh, no, you don't want to. You're giving out your email address.
No, that's my email. See, I'm not. My wife does all of the computer work.
Oh,
I guess
so
it would just be www.mississippihalfstep.com.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
But apparently, if anybody wants to email me, they're free to do so.
Yeah, they can do that, too. Yeah. Now that we gave that out, that's okay. That's fine. I wore the T-shirt, by the way.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. You said you collected the T-shirts.
Yeah,
and I actually
have a
comic interlude for you at the end of the show. You have to remind me when my time's about up, because I will walk onto the back porch, and you'll be able to hear my roosters cluck at me. Because we have a couple roosters run free.
Well, you got a definite 5 minutes, so.
Okay. Well, you just let me know when my time's about up, because all I have to do is walk on the back porch. Sometimes they like me, sometimes they don't, but I bet a lot of your listeners will be able to actually hear live roosters on someone's back porch.
Well, actually, that'll be funny because I'll talk back to you. Well, I won't. My chickens will.
Well, of course, I had to kiss a chicken.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Pictures of your chickens kissing me. The next time you come, though, we'll have to get you out here and have my chickens kiss you.
Oh, okay.
Might be a little different because they are alive, but they probably would give you a kiss.
Wait, let's have you come to the back porch. I really want to hear this.
Not a problem. I hope your listeners are ready.
Oh,
I was
okay.
going to do the interview from my back porch, and then I realized that the chickens were a little louder than I would have wanted.
That would have been hysterical. Are you kidding?
Well,
that would have been hysterical.
All right.
Okay.
Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
Those are the two roosters.
Okay. Let's see what Esther thinks about it. Yeah, that was her reaction to it.
That was her reaction. Well, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
That's really cool to do. Actually, that would have been great doing it from your back porch, and every once in a while you'd hear the chickens in the back, and I would say, did Esther and Eunice come to visit?
Well, Esther and Eunice came to visit, but my chickens didn't come to visit you. I just didn't know if the distraction would be a problem.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to pause before my next guest calls in, which is going to be from Janet Gentilin.
I think that's a good friend of mine, Ryan Gitlin.
Yeah, I'm going to put this on speakerphone now because now I'm hearing my thing running out too. So, okay. Well, thanks a bunch for calling in.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I appreciate the time to talk to you about the restaurant and a little bit about Grafton and the history of our place. And anytime you want to come down and have a meal, please just feel free.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Have a great evening.
All right. You too, and all the listeners out there, have a wonderful evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, yes. I hate when my phone does this, but what can you do? So, in the meantime, let's see if I can get in a quick song. I probably can't get in a quick song. I'm going to play my other favorite. Where did it go? Well, you know how. All right, let's do. This isn't. God, the brain's going. Doyle, what's her name? You know what I mean? It's not her, but I have somebody else singing I Dreamed a Dream. It'd be interesting to hear this version of it.
Hope was high and life was low.
Okay, I'm back. This is interesting. I'm back and I'm using my cell phone now. Isn't that cool? So now I'm going to wait for my call to call in. This is the first time I'm doing this with a cell phone. So we're gonna kind of see if this all works. At least the cell phone is charged, right? Let me take a look. Okay, let's try again. Okay, let's do this again. Hopefully, my caller will call in. Let's see. Let me see if I can call Ryan Gentelin. Let's see if this, I don't know if he has tried to call in or not, but you know, what the heck? Where is this now? Ah, here's the phone thing. Let's see. Can't tell you what I'm calling. Okay, let's see what happens now. I'm dialing.
Oh. Good evening, Gentlemen's on Broadway. This is Leslie. How may I help you?
Yes, is Ryan there?
Hold on one second. I'm not sure if he is. He may have taken off.
Okay.
May I ask who's calling, please, just in case if he is here?
Oh, well, just tell him he's supposed to be on the radio right now. So.
Oh, okay. Hold on one second, and we'll see.
Okay. Thank you. He might be calling. Here's the thing. He might be calling from a different phone number than the restaurant, as opposed to that he forgot. I don't think he forgot. I think with this thing, I wonder, like, if my cell phone would last for the 2 hours instead. That's why I hate difficult with one of those portable phones, and the battery starts going low. Or I wonder if they have portable phones that can last more than an hour and a half. Or, you know, I always get to, like, never complete a 2 hour show without them, you know, the beeping coming on and saying, you know, you're about to finish up here, and, you know.
Excuse me, miss?
Yes?
I actually ran out back to see, and the cook said that something had happened with his daughter, so he needed to run home.
Ah, okay. So he's probably not going to call into the show then.
I'm not sure. I have no clue. If you want, I can try to leave a message for him, but usually whenever.
No, you know what? Okay. Tell him what I'm going to do is I'm going to end the show. This way he doesn't, because if something happened, I can always have him come on another time. This way
right.
He's not pressured.
Okay?
Just tell him, that Merle says, not a problem, you know, she'll end the show. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I'll have him on another time.
Yeah, I'll let you know. So sorry about that.
No, but that's okay. That's not a problem. I'll take care of this. Okay. Thanks
Alrighty.
A whole bunch.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay. So what I'm going to do is then I might as well just end the episode. And, yeah. And tomorrow I'll do another one tomorrow. And they'll be on in the afternoon hours. Where is my, okay. So until tomorrow, have a happy morning, day, afternoon, or whatever you're having, and stay well, or as well as you can, or stay well. Okay, bye. everybody.